Blog Talk Radio.
Today's secret password is comb. Today's secret password is comb.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar, your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, March 29th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer.net. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, and visit our blog. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name to use while you're in the chat room. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list at Blog Talk Radio. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. All righty, it is time to go ahead, go to the phone lines, and bring on my wonderful co-host, author, poultry advocate, Pat Foreman. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Yeah, hey, Whisper, how was your weekend? I understand you had a really busy time with the, and you did a live show on Saturday?
We did. We had a really good time. We left on a Friday afternoon, and we headed down to Statesboro, Georgia, just outside of Savannah, Georgia. And then we woke up early, and Saturday we did broadcast live from 9 to 10 a.m., and then from 10:30 to, I guess it was 10:30 to 12:30, maybe 1 o'clock, we had a Getting Started with Backyard Poultry workshop and seminar there at Anderson's General Store. It's a Better Animals Purina dealer there in Statesboro, and we had about, I guess, just over 40 people show up for that event, so it was a successful event. We had a great time. And lots of great questions were asked, pictures, photographs, autographs, you name it. We had a really good time, met a lot of nice people down there in the Statesboro area. So, yeah, we had a really good event. We stayed over Saturday night. We saw a few of family members, and then we came home yesterday. And I was so glad the rain held off until we pulled into the driveway, because driving in the rain, you can't make that, can't make really good time. You're concerned about this, that, or the other. Traffic starts to build, so we were very thankful. We were watching the storms real close, and we really didn't get rained on until right as we were pulling into the driveway getting home. So that was a true blessing. But we had a really good time down in Statesboro at Anderson's General Store. Purina Better Animals dealer. They rolled out the red carpet for us. We had a great time, and fun was had by all. In fact, Jamie Allen, regular longtime fan and listener in the chat room, I met her. She arrived. In fact, she gave us some really wonderful banana nut bread. So thank you very much, Jamie, for that. It was nice to see you again. And we appreciate you coming out and staying for the class. And thank you for the bread. You're a wonderful person. So that's what we did this weekend. We sure did. How about yourself?
Wow. Oh my gosh, I just had a wonderful weekend too. But I was spent mainly painting and doing some spring cleaning. And I love it when my windows are so clean. So I was very domestic this weekend, which is a little unusual for me. And the other thing, I ran in with a good friend who told me that there was a rabies clinic that's going to be held by our local Humane Society. And then she also told me a horrible story. I'm not sure I won't even relay it. But it was about two dogs that had not had rabies shots for a long time got tangled up with a rabid animal. And now there's a conundrum what to do with them. I mean, I guess they have to either keep them isolated with no human contact for a long time or put them down or whatever. So anyway, between that and the rabies clinics, I'm going to take my two dogs and too many cats in, and they're all due for their vaccinations. So we're going to pay a visit to the clinic this afternoon and get them all shot up, which is a good thing. Yeah. That's one of the vaccines I am totally for is the rabies. I mean, I just don't want to mess around, and I don't think anyone should, because you never know when a rabid fox or coon or something's going to come around. And that in my book, that's part of sustainable living, is just keeping your animals with rabies shots updated, and it's such a peace of mind. Yeah. So, hey, I see I got you on video now, Whisper, and I see your logo there in the background. That's pretty sharp. It matches your hat. Yes, awesome. Awesome.
That is exactly right. Yeah, we've got that new banner made. We upgraded from the old one since we now have the logo, and we got that on our banner that we take with us all across the country. And so, yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people, I heard from a lot of people this morning that they received their Chicken Whisperer gear in the mail over the weekend. They got the Chicken Whisperer shirts and the mugs and the keychains and the mouse pads and tote bags and everything else. So everybody so far is really, really pleased with the Chicken Whisperer gear. You can get your own Chicken Whisperer gear at chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer.net, T-shirts, mugs, all kinds of great things. We'll be adding to that daily. Hopefully, and so as we get more and more products available and find more and more products kind of be a little bit more creative with some of the products. So absolutely. So just send me the feedback. So far, I'm very pleased with the products I've got for this from this company, and the T-shirts and all seem to be pretty good quality, and the color seems to be lasting. So that's the important thing. So I'm definitely looking forward to having more Chicken Whisperer gear. And Great Bag saying she wants a sweatshirt. I know she's up there in New York, and I've thought about doing some sweatshirts, but it's almost springtime. In fact, we've had some nice 70-plus degree days here in Atlanta, so I'm not sure if I get the sweatshirts how great they're going to sell now. I may have to wait till fall to go with the hoodies and the sweatshirts. So,
I don't know. Whisper, I got to tell you, even in the summer evenings, I'll just toss on here in a Virginia where you're warmer than we are, but I practically live in a sweatshirt in the evenings when the temperature drops a little bit. In the northern climates, in fact, when we lived in Vermont, we never took the flannel sheets off of the beds. So flannel sweatshirts were certainly all the rage as well all summer long. So. You might want to double think about that. Everyone doesn't live in your climate zone.
This is true. So yeah, I've thought about that. So who knows? We may may end up doing the hoodies or the sweatshirts. Sure, we'll have to take a look at that and see.
Can you wait till orders come in and then order them as needed, or do you have to put in a big order?
Not a huge order. I've done both, actually. We got some orders over the weekend, and so I'll be making an order for that. But I always order extra, so it's not a whole long, long time before they actually get their product. I know that that I don't like waiting for things when I order them, and I'm still waiting actually on Dave Ramsey's book about financial freedom or whatever it's called. So I'm waiting on his book to arrive, and it's been several weeks. So I'm right there with everybody else. When I order something, I hate to wait, but sometimes you have to. So sometimes I like to have things on hand, so as I get the order, I can just ship them right on out there so people don't have to wait too long. But on occasion, especially with me being on the road, and I'm doing it all. I mean, I'm addressing the packages, I'm putting the shirts in the package, I'm going to the mailbox, I'm actually mailing them or up to the post office. So with my travel schedule from here on out, it may be a little bit longer, maybe not because I don't have the goods, it's just because I'm not here actually to do it.
Yeah.
So, just one of those great things. So yeah, I'm running a little bit behind. I'm just now Facebooking that we are live, and our wonderful special guest today is going to be Dave Anderson. He is the current president of the American Poultry Association. We'll be going him after the first commercial break in about 5 or 6 minutes, and so he's our guest. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things going on with the American Poultry Association. They just had elections, so unfortunately, Dave will not be our president as of April 1st. We have a new incoming president and, I guess, vice president and secretary, and a lot of things are going on. We're going to be talking about some shows that are coming up and just all kinds of great information. And then towards the end of the show, we're going to be welcoming a good friend of mine here in Georgia, Fritz Duncan, and him and his wife are kind of the leaders of the American Poultry Association Youth Program and the American Bantam Association Youth Program here in Georgia. So he's going to tell us all about that, what kind of projects they do, how you across the country can get involved or start your APA or ABA youth program in your state. And so we'll be doing that towards the end of the radio show. So we do have a chock full show today. Tomorrow, Christine Heinrich will be here, author of How to Raise Chickens and How to Raise Poultry, talking all about, I believe she's going to be talking about the Polish chicken. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. The Polish chicken is one of my favorite chickens to watch because they're so jerky and kind of dorky looking, but they're just charming. They're like walking little Q-tips with these fuzzy tops. They're really cute.
Time to get one, yeah, that's the black and white. Looks like they're wearing a little tuxedo with a top hat or something on.
Yeah. So sort of like vaudeville chickens because they've got the little pom-poms on their heads. They're just cute.
Absolutely. So we love that. Speaking of that, I was telling Jen last night, well, I've got some really great news. I'm just going to start. We love going around the country. Let me go ahead and bring it up here and make – now that the press release is out there, the national press release, for our next event coming up is going to be this Saturday in Nashville, or I guess I should say just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, at Columbia Farm Supply in Columbia, Tennessee. And I believe it from the map, it looks like it's about a 30-minute drive kind of south or southwest of downtown Nashville. And the press release says Columbia Farm Supply announces 2010 Chick Days, Chicken Whisperer to visit Nashville area to share poultry raising secrets. And so Columbia Farm Supply is pleased to announce 2010 Chick Days, providing poultry raising resources to Nashville communities. The popularity of raising poultry in both farms and urban backyards is sweeping the nation and providing chicken owners with healthier meat and eggs, homegrown food, and pets. As part of their Chick Days, Columbia Farm Supply is hosting the Chicken Whisperer this Saturday, April the 3rd, and so we'll be broadcasting live again this Saturday from Columbia Farm Supply, just south of Nashville, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. I have to be real careful with that myself because I go to Nashville, it's an hour behind us, Dallas an hour behind, and then we go back to New York on this next trip we're doing. I have to be real careful, and I learned that in St. Louis, like, oh, wait a minute, I've got to get ready for the show, even though we're an hour behind us. I've got to be aware of that, but always noon Eastern time, wherever we're physically at, that's when we will be broadcasting the show live, 9 to 10 this Saturday. And then from 10:30 to 12:30, we'll be offering a poultry keeping or a backyard poultry workshop to everybody that shows up. Come on out. Columbia Farm Supply is located at 170 Bear Creek Pike in Columbia, Tennessee, 38401. If you have any questions about the event, you can contact them at 931-388-1200. Craig Teal with Columbia Farm Supply, 931-388-1200. And so I kind of, we run the Nashville Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, just like we have one here in the Atlanta area. And so we scheduled it as a meetup, already have lots of folks coming out for that, and I sent them all out an email last night. And what we're doing is, of course, we're going to actually arrive Thursday. We're heading out of here Thursday afternoon. We'll get up into Nashville Thursday evening, and we'll have all day Friday, not really to ourselves, because normally the day before the event is what my publicist calls media day, just like we did in St. Louis with the TV and the radio and the newspaper. So all day Friday will be media day, other than the radio show. And I'm not exactly sure where we're going to be broadcasting the radio show live from Friday, somewhere in Nashville. We're hoping to pick a really fun location so people can come out. And then, of course, we'll be doing that on Friday. And the rest of the Friday will be media day. Maybe Friday night, where we can do some type of dinner with our meetup group there in Nashville. And, of course, Saturday is the event, 9 to 10, broadcasting live, 10:30, 12:30, the actual show. And then, I don't know if you've been following us on Facebook. I was so excited, Pat. My publicist got me front row tickets to see Vince Gill at the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night.
That's
so
excellent.
Yeah, so, yep, front row, Vince Gill, Grand Ole Opry, Saturday night. Really looking forward to it. So we're telling everybody that, hey, if they want to go out to dinner with us, my wife and I, and on Friday night and have a good time. If they want to go ahead and buy opera tickets, we can all go together and have a great time. I told Jen, I said, maybe I'll have to wear my black overalls with my tuck shirt and my bow tie and my cufflinks to the Opry for that evening. And she just kind of raised her eyebrow and says, well, maybe that might be an appropriate event. So we'll just see what ends up in the suitcase when we head out on Thursday. So I was very
very. I've got it, Andy. Here's your dress-up clothes. You need a bow tie, a bright red bow tie, and that would symbolize a comb on a chicken, or not a comb, the waddles on a chicken.
The waddle.
That would go really well with your yellow cap and the bibs. I could even see it on the chicken in the background there. A little bow tie would just really dress him up when he gets all these awards.
I was always taught that red and yellow doesn't go together. Like red
well, in
pants
nature,
and yellow shirt.
In nature and with farm fashion, there are no clashing colors. I'm sure you've heard of that.
No rules when it comes to farm fashion. Awesome.
Nope.
I'll have to remember that.
Yeah, red and yellow go together. I mean, look at your banner. He's got a red comb with his yellow background and yellow suit.
That's true. That's true.
I think you could be a new trendsetter.
Oh wow, they're taking bets here in the chat room. It says Terry is taking bets that Andy gets on stage with Vince Gill at the Grand Ole Opry. Anybody willing to wager? There we
go.
So.
You can do a cluck along with him. Cluck along country with the Chicken Whisperer and Vance Gill.
We'll see what happens. I've been to the Opry before, and they do have sometimes contests. You fill out a form, put it in the hat, and then about halfway through the whole event that night, they draw your name, and you get to go up on the stage and kind of sit back along the side of the stage for the remainder of the show. So, my chances of getting on the stage are probably me getting my name drawn out of the hat from my ticket stub, probably. But I'll have front row.
Yeah, well, Diana's pretty crafty. Your publicist is pretty amazing when it comes to getting you places. So that would be quite a coup.
She's doing a good job. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. I'll take tons and tons of pictures, and we'll try to get them posted on the Facebook. And, of course, just like with the St. Louis trip on our Facebook page, let everybody know kind of where I'm at, what I'm doing throughout the day, where they can come out and have dinner or see us or whatever the case may be. So definitely looking forward to the trip to Nashville. So that's our next show this Saturday in Nashville, and then and we'll keep you posted on the radio show. And then Monday we're flying out to Dallas, two shows in Dallas Tuesday night, Thursday night, and then Friday we'll wake up, fly to New York, three shows in New York Friday, and then two shows on a Saturday. I do have those locations, but I'll beginning of next week we'll talk about the trip to New York, and then probably hopefully by tomorrow or Wednesday I'll have the locations actually where we will be in Dallas. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be welcoming our special guest today, Dave Anderson, president of the American Poultry Association, well, at least for the next few days. So, but don't worry, he's not going anywhere, because I believe he has another title he'll have, I believe the way it works from a previous show we talked about, over the next couple of years. So he's really not leaving. He's just kind of changing titles. So stay with us. He'll tell us all about that. We come back right after this short commercial break.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get four Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Monday, the last Monday of March. Today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, I am Andy Schneider. Most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, my co-host Pat Foreman, author, poultry advocate, and we're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. I do want to make this announcement. If you're in the New Jersey area on April 17th, I guess Earth Day, that weekend, Saturday the 17th, the Perfect Christmas Tree Farm is having a 40th annual Earth Day celebration, of course, at Perfect Christmas Tree Farm. They're going to be it's going to be the premiere of the movie Mad City Chickens. They're going to have dog tricks, antiques, sing-along hay rides, food, specimen trees, exhibits, demonstrations, photo shoots, talking about bees and worms, and backyard poultry, living a self-sustaining lifestyle, all about Earth Day. Again, this is going to be on April the 17th at Perfect Christmas Tree Farm in New Jersey. And if you have any need any information about this, you can give them go to perfectchristmastree.com. That's www.perfectchristmastree.com. Or give them a call at 908 908-387-1225. That's 908-387-1225 for an Earth Day celebration at the Perfect Christmas Tree Farm in New Jersey. So let's see where exactly that's going to be. It's at 999 US 22, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. So there you go, folks. Wanted to get that out to you. And now it is time to welcome our wonderful guest today, at least for the next few days. Let me go ahead and push this button here. Yes, there we go. President of the American Poultry Association, Dave Anderson. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning, Pat and Andy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Dave. Thanks for coming back.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Absolutely. And we had talked on the phone last night, and there's so much going on. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And know right now I can introduce you as the president of the American Poultry Association. We just have a couple of more days, and then your title actually changes because we have gone through the elections, and you're going to tell all our listeners across the country about the new elected officials, if you will, and then, of course, what your new title will be. So tell us a little bit about how the elections went and the new officers.
I'd be happy to do that. Yes, we have biannual elections, which means every 2 years. We just completed that process. I will be president until the 1st of April. I was termed out, so to speak. Our bylaws only allow two consecutive terms, which I've already served, and then I'm not allowed to run again. Well, I can in 2 years. I can take a break, but I can't run again at this time. So we did have a very spirited contest for president, and a good contest, I might add, between John Monaco of California, who has been a director for many, many years, and Sam Brush, who is the current vice president. And when all the votes were counted by our election commissioner, Paul Kroll, in New York, it turned out that we have North America divided into 12 districts for the APA. Each had won 6 districts, but Sam prevailed via the popular vote, individual vote, so he will be the next president. And Butch Gunderson of Wisconsin ran unopposed for vice president, so obviously he will be the next vice president. And we had a changeover of perhaps, I think, 3 or 4 directors on our board of directors. I will be the what's called the director at large, which is the 13th director. And again, that's a bylaw deal where the outgoing president serves as a director at large until his successor is out of office. So I will be in that position for at least the next 2 years.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. Folks that were elected have been longtime supporters of the APA, and I'm sure we'll carry on the tradition. And Sam is from Texas, and he's been a vice president for 4 years, director prior to that. Butch Gunderson has also been a director on the board of directors, so I think we're in good hands, and I look forward to the next 2 years.
Yeah, excellent. Well, what does a director at large do, Dave?
Basically, as I mentioned earlier, we have 12 districts throughout North America. There's one director for each district, and then the director
right.
at large really has the same responsibilities as the other director. Well, that's not true. I have the same voting rights and responsibilities, and I attend the semiannual and the annual meeting each year, but in terms of appointing state representatives and so forth, obviously I don't have that responsibility. So that's the major difference.
Okay. So you're being at large then, that means you don't have a specific district, but you kind of oversee everything.
Yeah, I guess I'm just an additional board member, let's put it that way. And yes, I don't have a specific district. And it's I think quite often the reason that position is there, past presidents kind of serve as somewhat of an advisor to the incoming president. And I know that's been true for me. I relied heavily on some of the past presidents when I first got into office. So I kind of serve in that function as well.
Okay. Are there any big issues coming up that the next president has to deal with over the next 2 years that maybe you're passing the gavel along to?
Actually, we've solved, when I first started, we were in kind of a low point in the APA for a variety of reasons. I won't go into that right now, but There were things that I needed to get back on track. We had just recently gone through a change of secretaries, a couple of secretaries. I had no financial records. It was not a pretty picture. So some of the things that I laid out as goals were to get us back on financial track in terms of finding out where we are, get a nice financial system installed so that we could have instant access to our financial goodness. Also to get our quarterly newsletters back on track. They had kind of fallen off, and we've done that. We've done both of those things. Our yearbook back on track, that tended to be coming out rather late, and we were losing advertisers. We've turned that around, so I feel good about that. And the other thing, I guess final thing, is that we needed to get out a new edition of the Standard of Perfection. The last one was put out in 2001, I believe. And that's usually done every few years, and we're just about to do that. I just received my review copy, and we have a review committee, and we will have our comments in by the end of this week. Then the chairman of the standard committee will incorporate all of those comments into one, get them back to the printer, and we're hoping to unveil our new standard by the end of May at our semi-annual in Lucasville, Ohio.
So, wow. Were there a lot of changes, new breeds added to it?
As a matter of fact, there were quite a few changes. We have admitted some new breeds. The American Game Bantam was admitted. There were the Guinea fowl, of course, have been admitted, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
How often do we admit a whole new genus, I guess you would call it. And there are several varieties of various breeds that have been admitted. So those all had to be incorporated and so on and so forth. So I guess it's a long answer to your question of hopefully we'll have that done. Well, that's not true. We won't have the standard done by the time Sam takes over, but it'll be well along the way. So we do have a conference call board meeting this evening to go review what's happening with the standard and review our budget for the year and so on and so forth. The only outstanding issue that I know of now is just reared its ugly head about a month ago, or a few weeks ago at least, that the Department of Fish and Game has issued a ruling, and I don't know if it's a law or not, that it will be illegal to raise Muscovy ducks.
Why?
Which is a serious blow to Muscovy duck raisers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they did so was apparently there are several of these birds have escaped and set up feral populations, and they're a very aggressive duck, so they're chasing out some of the native ducks. I think primarily this has been occurring in Texas and Florida. Unfortunately, they were not aware of our hobby or industry, and so they just kind of did this without any approvals or input from us. We're now talking to them, and they seem to be willing to back off a little bit and make some changes. So that isn't a spotlighted issue that Sam will have to deal with.
Hmm. So they just passed a law outlawing it without having a public debate?
Well, apparently they did. They put it out for public review, but I have no idea. We certainly were not aware of it.
Really?
We typically track things through the Department of Agriculture, and we'll find those when they're out for public review, but we had no idea that we should be monitoring the Fish and Game. So.
Yeah, who would have seen that one coming?
Right, exactly.
of all things, you think they'd be...
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's really the primary outstanding issue. This whole idea of poultry identification has gone away. That died.
Thank God, yeah.
Yes, and... And so, right now, you never know what's right around the corner, but right now, that's it. Now, I think the challenge is to grow the organization in terms of membership and in terms of finances and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know your Standard of Perfection is a good, it's just an incredible reference book, and you'll get to, I would guess judges, every edition they have to have new books of it. Buy
Correct.
New copies.
Correct.
But, I was thinking, Dave, remember last time you were on, we were talking about grants, and I kept thinking about, I've got one little hen, she's just she's not feathering back out. And I can see her shoulders and back, and I've done everything I know to do. But in looking at her and kind of studying her, I realized, gosh, wouldn't it be interesting if the standard of perfection, or if there could be a grant that could take these body types and make molds of them or do whatever, so people could see the difference without feathers of a Cornish, say, rock and the meat birds versus an egg layer, or what it really means when they have a longer back or a taller neck.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. I remember years ago we had a gentleman out here that worked at University of Davis, California at Davis, and he was making skeletons of various breeds. He'd take birds that had expired, obviously, and do whatever he had to do and to take the meat off the bones, and then he would actually mount these skeletons. I thought that was rather interesting.
That is cool. Well, maybe even combine the skeleton then the way they do with dinosaurs. You know, then they flush them out.
Right.
and then you could really see kind of what makes a good laying hen. You know, the two fingers or four fingers from the pelvic bone kind of. But anyway, I would think that could be possibly a project that could get some fundraising even.
That's
to
a good
it.
Thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, all that from my little almost featherless chicken.
Okay.
because I do see she's a little black ostelorp, and I look at her and then I look at the feathered birds and I'm going, wow, this is really interesting. I hadn't noticed that was under all those feathers, kind of thing. Sometimes you look at a bird and you just think they're all feathers, but there is a there underneath. You know?
Well, that reminds me of an interesting story of several years ago. Someone came up with a brilliant idea that if they could raise a featherless bird, it would be much cheaper to process them for commercial. So they did that. They actually developed birds that didn't have any feathers, but the problem was that the took so much more heat to keep them warm when they were younger that it was not it was cost prohibitive. So there was another good idea down the drain. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I understand they have boneless chickens too that they're
right.
raising. You buy those in the store.
Yes, it's very hard. At least you don't have to chase them around.
Yeah. I think The Far Side had a cartoon
right.
like that. It was the boneless
exactly.
chicken farm. These exactly. chickens were all laying around.
But anyway, in addition to, there is a lot to talk about. I don't want to hog the show here, but in addition to the election, it's just an exciting time of year, of course, in our industry because of the hatching season, and it's always fun to spend the weekends out there trying to mate up your make your matings to produce that champion for next year, and gather the eggs, put them in the incubator, take them out, and of course we hatch once a week, and we have chicks running around now, and it's just fun. It's an exciting time, and we have our local show coming up here in Ventura, California. It's actually right on the shores of the Pacific Ocean, the only show that I know of where you can actually sit there and look at the ocean and the birds at the same time. But we have a spring fling. We call it the spring fling, and one of our big attractions there is we actually do a auction of hatching eggs. And so all of our local breeders donate a dozen or two dozen of whatever they happen to specialize in. And it's a nice, cheap way for somebody to get started. And,
nice.
We all look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to be there.
Yeah.
So do you pick up hatching eggs at the auction, or you just pretty well network and know all the breeders?
Yeah, we have a very large club, so I make my appeals for people to donate some eggs, and I always donate some myself and so on, and then we have an actual auctioneer there, and we've actually, I guess the highest amount we've had has been in the 70-some dollar range for a dozen eggs. And that obviously benefits the club, and as I mentioned earlier, it's a fairly inexpensive way for somebody to get started.
Mhm. Mhm. Wow.
And overall,
very interesting.
Just the whole exhibition industry is kind of on a upswing right now, and particularly here in the West, we've just had an amazing start to the year. The shows have been up. We just had there's been a couple of new shows, which is always exciting. We had one start in New Mexico last year, and just last month they had one in Phoenix, Arizona area. I think they drew about 800 birds, which is pretty good for a first-time show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also had the ABA had their semi-annual show here in Bakersfield, California in March. That was well attended, and I enjoyed myself. Get to see a lot of the folks that came out from the East Coast and Midwest. That was followed a week later by Salt Lake City show, which I had the privilege of judging, and they were dramatically up in entries and had exhibitors from, I don't have a list in front of me, but I remember people from Idaho, Wyoming, Nevada, Arizona, and on it goes. It's one of the few three-day shows left in the country, which has its positives and negatives, but it's always, it gives you a lot of time to visit with your friends. So
yeah.
I really enjoyed that. We have another club out here in Southern California called the Inland Empire that's been kind of dormant for a couple of years. They just announced they're going to put on a show the first week in May. And then as I look at my poultry press just around the country, it's a very busy time for spring shows. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be having our semi-annual meeting for the APA in conjunction with the Lucasville show in Southern Ohio. That's
mm-hmm.
the last weekend of May, and that's one of my favorite shows. They know how to put on a show. The old saying is there is no free lunch. Well, there is there. They put on a free lunch for all attendees. So it's good food. And it's something to look forward to, and it's usually a pretty sizable show. So I'm really looking forward to that. And
that's May 22nd and 23rd. In Lucasville, and I think I might go attend that one, Dave. Maybe I can meet you face to face.
Check the dates because it might be a week after that.
Oh, I'm looking at your website, the APA.
I think someone put it on our site erroneously. So
Ruh-roh.
That's what I thought. I haven't made my travel reservations yet, but some of my some of the directors complained they bought their tickets and then found out it was in fact the following weekend. So. Double check the
date. Okay. Well, I'll do that. Which brings up a question, Dave, that I've been kind of wondering as and probably maybe Andy has too, as he's been traveling around the country. Is there some place on the internet where it lists all the upcoming shows? I mean, I know we've got the Poultry Press, but even they just don't have a list of here's the state and here's the shows.
Right.
Is there any place where that information is consolidated?
You know, to the best of my knowledge, there is not, Pat.
Okay.
We have a gentleman out here in, I guess it's the state of Washington, who has taken it upon himself to kind of list the Western shows. He sends out an email listing every now and then, which is nice, and it's, it's very handy, but it's not a national sort of a thing, so I think that would be a very good project.
That sounds like a good project for the APA, you know. Since you sanctioned the shows.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, we would have the most knowledge. And, we can certainly. There is a list of, I believe the ABA puts out a list of upcoming shows in their quarterly newsletters. That's under their jurisdiction. And of course, most of the shows are sanctioned by both organizations. I don't think, as I'm thinking about our newsletter, I don't believe we do that. So I think that would be a really great addition.
Okay, there's two projects for the next 2 years.
Sure. Right.
There
I'm
is. Sorry, Andy, go
pass
ahead.
That on to Sam. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Love it. I know that there's a smaller list at Christine Heinrich's website, poultrybookstore.com. If you go there and then hit poultry shows, the link to the left, it's obviously Poultry Press is where it's at as far as following anything that's going
that's
on
correct.
With the show scene.
That's correct.
But those who know about Christine and know her website there, they help submit it to her, and then she puts it up. And so it's done by state. I think it's actually done by date, so you can look and see which ones are coming up, and then it shows where it's at and what state. But still, it's not anywhere near the Poultry Press. So, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Everybody on web, that would be a real fun just click through, poultryshows.com, poultryshowschedule.com, whatever it may be. And like I said, I'd love to do it, but who has time?
Yeah.
So maybe.
Yeah, right. And for our friends and exhibitors in Canada, of course, the Feather Fancier is kind of the counterpart of the Poultry Press, and they list the Canadian shows. And we do have one of those that we'll probably talk about later in the year. We do have the Canadian National coming up in the fall. And that's kind of a new thing that happened in the last couple of years. I believe we may have discussed this before, where it's becoming increasingly more difficult for some of the Canadian folks to get across the border with their birds to show at our nationals. So they wanted to have their own, and we made that happen. So that's something we could discuss later in the year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you had some other things you wanted to discuss too, I believe, on the show before we go to break, correct? Going down the list.
let's see. Well, we talked about the APA elections. We talked mm-hmm. about the hatching season and the shows, and we talked a little bit about the Muskogee
ducks.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we've got. I think we covered most of it. To be honest with you, I can rattle on about the shows for a long, long time. But
were there any significant shows, big shows that went on maybe in the last 30 days? Any big events, big winners there? Any big shows coming up in April that are of significance?
I think as I mentioned, the Bakersfield show, which was the ABA semi-annual, that was in March and rather well attended. They had judges. The judges were out from Wisconsin, Ohio, and New England, I believe. I'm trying to remember which state right now in New England. And always good to see those folks. And I'm trying to remember. I believe that was won by Andy Barnes in Oklahoma. I believe he came out and won that show. And then, as I mentioned, the Salt Lake, for me, the Salt Lake show was just fantastic. And that was won by one of the local guys there in Salt Lake, and they just do a bang up job. It's a very laid back, relaxed show, and one of the items we could talk about there. They have I'll call it exciting, for lack of a better word, bird auction there, where they actually auction off, I would say, close to 100 lots of birds. They have an actual, a real live auctioneer. They hand out, the bid cards as you do at another auction, and it goes on for several hours, I guess. Kind of interesting. And by the way, that's another way for people to get a fairly reasonable start. Many of the birds that are auctioned off are actually the birds that were in the show, and they don't do the auction until after the judging is complete, so people can pull their birds out of the show and put them in the auction. And there's some awfully good birds that were sold for extremely reasonable prices. So another interesting facet of our hobby, I guess.
Well, that is interesting. Well, I just attended a fundraiser that was a silent auction, and I included two batches from the Randall Berkey donated chicks. for the auction, and they bid up pretty well. I was quite pleased at that, but got some more chicks spread out there.
Yeah, there are several shows that have chick auctions where they is the same thing. They'll bring in maybe a couple hundred chicks or whatever it may be of show quality, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they do that up in shows up in the state of Washington, and that's a really big fundraiser, and again, a cheap way to get started. And one of our clubs out here in California has come up with a clever approach to making money. They buy chicks of laying stock, and I can't remember how many they buy each year, several hundred, and raise them out and then sell them as pullets. They have a big sales day, and they just make an amazing amount of money to keep their club going.
But what do they sell the pullets for, Dave? What are the numbers? Because Andy and I have had several discussions that we think, especially laying hens, are being sold too cheaply.
I'm thinking it's $15 each, but I'm not sure. I would have to double check on it. And so they raise and sell maybe 150 or 200 of these things, and most of them are sold by the time the auction is kind of short, because a lot of them are pre-sold. So. It's just another way, because of this demand for the backyard flocks and so on and so forth, people are eager to get a hold of good stock. So it's another way for the clubs to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. Great idea.
That's a really good idea, Dave. In fact, our poultry club is thinking about ways to raise money, and maybe we can sell chickens now at the Virginia Horse Center, so maybe we'll just have some folks get some chicks and go over there and start selling them on the weekends.
Yeah, I think what that club does is split them up. They order, again, I'm not sure of the numbers, whether it's 100 or 500 or whatever it may be. They order them, get them in, and then they split them up among the members, and then the members are, you know, kind of donate the feed to raise them to pullet size. And so it's a good deal.
Okay, great. Well, Whisper, you were going to say something.
Yeah, we're just going to run. We have another guest coming on here in a couple of minutes, the leaders of the Georgia APA and BA youth program. So we're going to welcome them on here in just a second. Dave, I want to thank you very much for being our guest over the last few months, coming on the last Monday of every month, talking about all the updates that are going on with the APA and the new election and the shows and how to show and what goes into judging and the whole nine yards. So we really appreciate you coming on a regular basis. I'm sure I will get with you here shortly and get the contact information to the new president. Maybe we can start having him on as well and kind of continue on the tradition here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer and working with the APA and spreading all the great news about the shows across the country.
I hope so, Andy. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I hope to keep on. And I have talked to Sam about it, and he's interested in participating also. So one sidelight, I will give you a plug for one of your advertisers. I ordered my night guard.
Great.
And they've been in action for the last two or three weeks, and I'm not sure if they're working because I don't know if the predators just aren't coming around or they're keeping them away, but so far everything's fine. And I certainly recommend them. My neighbors saw them, and they ordered some, and so we may have a whole street full of night guards before we're done. So.
I love it. That's great. Absolutely. Yeah, we tell the folks all about it whenever we go on the road, and they've donated a unit or two for each show that we give away for chicken trivia. So absolutely. I'm kind of the same way. It's like, you know, they must be working because, we got them right after we had a weasel attack or a weasel badger, and ever since then, knock on wood, we haven't had anything. I sleep a little bit better at night knowing that they're out there working.
Well, we have serious predator problems where I live, from, you know, possums, raccoons, coyotes, bobcats, cougars, and bears. And bears are the worst. And so if we can keep them away, I'm very happy.
Absolutely. I agree. We got the possums and the raccoons here and other things. So, well, Dave, thank you very much for coming on. As always, I'm sure we'll have you back and the new president as well. And because there's always something that's going on, always great news to talk about. Keep us updated with the Muscovy Ducks and the situation with the DNR out there and all that's going on with that. We can update our listeners. And you have an absolutely wonderful week, and I'll touch base with you later in the week or next week.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Dave.
Bye.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-882-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Speaking of Night Guard Solar,
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get 4 Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Boing. All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Again, our special guest today was Dave Anderson, president of the American Poultry Association, at least for the next few days. They just had elections, and we've got new officers moving in, but Dave is not going anywhere. He gets a new title for the next couple of years, so good for him, and we appreciate him coming on over the last few months, the last Monday, and I'm sure he's not the last time it'll be on. I'm sure he'll be on many more times over 2010, along with the new president of the American Poultry Association. Our guest now, we've got about 4.5 minutes left, so we'll rush through this. I'm sure we'll have him back on, is Fritz Duncan. Him and his wife, Christine, are kind of the overseers, if you will, the leaders of the youth American Bantam Association and American Poultry Association here in the state of Georgia. Fritz, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andy.
We appreciate you coming on. So tell us a little bit first. We'll start with Georgia. You and your wife are both kind of the head of both the APA and ABA youth program here in the state of Georgia. So tell us real quickly a little bit about the program. And I know you have launched a couple of new websites, Facebook page. So tell us about that as well.
Yes, the youth program we're part of the national website. We're represented by the APA and the ABA. We work closely together with them, and then the Southern Ohio Poultry Association. We also work very closely with as well. And you can go on the national website. I put it in the chat room on there, but it's APA-ABAYouthProgramSite.org. And on there it has all kinds of education material, whether you're just getting started. It also has some of the shows listed. It's not for the youth. It's got adult shows in there, too. So a lot of good information on the national program, a lot of support. There's a lot of vendors out there who support the youth and keep it going every year.
Great. And I see the website here. It's gayouthpoultry.webs.com right there in the chat room. You posted it, which is awesome.
Yeah. And then locally, the state of Georgia is who we represent. We're also representing Tennessee right now. They don't have a state leader, and we live so close to the border, so we're kind of helping them out too. But you can always go to our local website. It's GeorgiaYouthPoultry.webs.com, and it's also in the chat room as well. And we have different information on there, some more links, some more local stuff that's going on. We also do a lot of trivia things, keep the kids interested, because right now it's kind of the end of the show season until the fall. So we want to make sure we pique their knowledge throughout the summer and let them learn about the predators and different chicken breeds, and just keep them involved year-round to help support the youth and educate them year-round.
Sure, we had a couple of comments. If you could speak a little bit louder so they can hear you out in radio land across the country. You were a little bit muffled there, so if you can just kind of either move closer to the phone or speak up a little bit so our listeners can get all this great information a little bit better and clearer and louder, that would be great. And so since we have listeners all over the country, all over the world really, are there other youth programs in all the other 50 states, or is this something that's just started up?
Every state should have a youth leader. There's a few states out there that don't have youth leaders. Like I said, right now we're kind of representing Tennessee and Georgia. But there is, if somebody's interested in being a youth leader, they can go to that national website and look on there. If they don't see a state leader there, and Doris, who is based out of Tennessee, they can contact her and get information and go through the process of becoming a state leader.
Perfect. That's great. Of course, we encourage them to do so. It's another way to do that other than a 4-H FFA. And I know y'all, Randall Berkey, regarding our chicks from them, have gone to your program. We've probably sent you over the last couple of months about 100 chicks from Randall Berkey to help support the youth ABA and APA program here in the state of Georgia. So we're very happy to be able to do that in partnership with Randall Berkey. And, Fritz, we're really out of time. I will have you back on because y'all are avid listeners and fans and members of the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, so you can tell us all that's going on and update shows with the youth program, because it's so important to get the youth involved. They can learn so much from farm to table, where their food comes from, responsibility, the whole nine yards. So we're all about getting the youth involved in keeping backyard poultry and showing poultry. So thank you very much for being on the show today, and I'm sure we'll have you back with a little bit more time maybe later in the week.
Talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. All righty. Thank you very much. Sorry we kind of ran short there, but we will definitely have Fritz back on because youth is very important. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Tomorrow, Christine Heinrich will be joining us talking about the Polish breed chicken. Pat, 15 seconds.
Yeah. Well, Andy, I just want to say in 15 seconds, thanks for setting the new trends in farm fashion that include bibs and bow ties. Okay. Thanks to all, and may the flock be with everyone whenever they want them. God bless.